Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Coleman.
Hey, 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 welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin. So glad you could join me, and if this is your first time, well, I'll try and be gentle. But I must warn you, I'm kind of like Shaquille O'Neal, where I gotta be honest, and I gotta tell it like it is. However, unlike Shaquille O'Neal, I'll try not to be an asshole.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, if you're not a sports fan, you may not have heard about this or cared, but I'll try to make this brief. But you see, I'm a big Denver Nuggets fan, watched every single game they played this year, and at the end of the season, the basketball media voted, and they presented Nikola Jokic with his third MVP award. And the night they announced this, instead of giving Joker a ceremony or a proper congratulations, they instead tried to embarrass him by letting Shaq O'Neal tell him that basically he didn't deserve it. And he said something like,
no disrespect, but I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander should have won.
And I always love it when people go, no disrespect, when you know they're about to disrespect you and insult you. And of course, you know how I feel about the media. I pretty much can't stand most of the talking heads. But the last several years, I've actually gotten to where I kind of like Shaq. I used to hate him when he was on the Lakers, but you know, now it's like I thought he was kind of funny. But I'm here to say today that I no longer like Shaquille O'Neal. I thought that was very cheap and uncalled for, and even though he's totally welcome to his own opinion, that's fine, but that was neither the time nor the place. And sorry, but I just had to get that off my chest.
With all due respect, you don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, anyway, unlike that, here's something that you might actually be interested in. I got a music question from Rockcast listener Dan the Man Cunningham. And Dan says, hey Monty, just went and saw Judas Priest and they killed. Halford still has it. This got me to wondering, what older bands do you think still have it?
I don't care about any of it.
Well, good question, Dan. You know, I was kind of thinking about this same thing the other day. Most, if not all, of the bands that I grew up idolizing and that influenced me a lot when I was learning how to play, well, they've all gotten either really old or they're dead. And I've got to admit, it kind of makes me sad in most cases. Because a lot of these older bands do one or two things. One of the things they do is they'll have a few of the guys that were in the original band, and they'll keep recording and touring well into their 70s. And by that point, they just look like a bunch of old geezers. Such was the case the other day when I saw a video by Deep Purple for, I guess, a new song. And I believe it was Ian Paice, Ian Gillan, and Roger Glover. However, I can't be totally sure about that because I couldn't really recognize any of them. The weird thing is I didn't really think the song was awful. It sounded like Deep Purple. But after about 30 seconds, all I could think was maybe next time don't have the band do one of those performance videos. Maybe just use some animation or something like that. The other thing that older bands do that really bugs me is they'll keep hiring new guys until there's only one guy left from the original band. Foreigner kept doing that until they were basically just a tribute band. And at that point, I have no interest in seeing that whatsoever. Another band that did that was Kansas. And they started back in the 80s when they replaced Steve Walsh, and then it was Carrie Livgren. And then Robbie Steinhardt and Dave Hope left. And they've kept going for like 30, 40 years now with a whole new band almost. and they still call it Kansas. But let me ask this to the Galactic fans that are listening right now. If Alan Doss hired three guys and replaced Ben, Dane, and myself, and then just went out as Galactic Cowboys, would you be okay with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I think that that's perfectly fine.
So, for the most part, a lot of the bands that kind of overstay their welcome, I find a little bit embarrassing at times. But there are some of them that can actually still pull it off. For instance, I'm not a huge Stones fan, but I would still go see them if I got free tickets. Another band that I would still love to see live is Iron Maiden. I don't care how old they are, they still bring it, and they have more energy than most bands do that are in their 20s. I would also agree with Dan that Judas Priest still puts on a good show, and they still make good albums. Now, how about one of my favorite bands of all time, The Who? Well, they're kind of borderline for me because I think it might be time for them to think about retirement. But at the same time, if I had a chance to meet Pete Townsend, I'd probably lose it. As in, lose my mind. The same goes with Paul McCartney. He could tour forever. It'd be fine with me. I will always want to go see him. Never have. And since we're on the subject, this is kind of funny. Because several months ago, Alex starts saying, hey, Blondie's coming. And I said, really? And she said, yeah, they're coming to Denver. And I said, how old is Deborah Harry now? And she said, I think she's 72. Well, turned out she's actually 78. And this presented kind of a dilemma for me. Because when I was 18, like most guys, I thought Debbie Harry was hot. However, to be fair, back then I thought most female singers were too. Ann and Nancy Wilson, Pat Benatar, Stevie Nicks, Linda Ronstadt, etc. And Debbie Harry was definitely one of those, but I'm thinking now, do I really want to see her in her 70s? But I knew Alex was just a huge fan. She's loved their music for years. She's always listening to them, and she's got the t-shirts, and about the seventh time she said, man, I'd really like to go see Blondie. I said, all right, I think I need to do something. And so I said to her, how about I take you to see Blondie for Mother's Day? I never know what to get you, so how about we do that? Would that be cool? And she was very excited. And so the day comes, we drive to the Mission Ballroom, and I'm going to say there was between 3,000 and 4,000 people there, which kind of surprised me. But we get right up front, there was no opening band, the lights go down, and the band comes walking out, Deborah Harry's got shades on, and she just walks up to the mic and just stands there. And she just looks like, yeah, I'm badass. And they kick into One Way or Another, and I'm like, yeah, you are badass, Deborah Harry. And for the next hour and a half, every single song she sang was a hit, and we just enjoyed the heck out of it. And now I'm gonna contradict myself. I know I said earlier that I don't really like bands that go out that only have one or two original members left in it, but in this situation, I was totally fine with it, and I thought they completely pulled it off. And here's why. She kept the original drummer, Clem Burke. And that guy has always been one of the most awesome drummers around, and he still is. She also replaced the bass player with Glenn Matlock, who, if you don't know, was the original bass player for the Sex Pistols. And the story on that is that he got kicked out of the Sex Pistols because he was too good of a musician. But if you were ever in the Sex Pistols, that means you are a punk rock legend, and that gives you some massive credibility in my book. However, for the rest of the band, she hired guys that looked like they were either 30 or younger. And they looked cool, the guitar players both had mohawks, they gave it a younger, cooler vibe, and they didn't look like geezers. And I thought that was a great decision on her part, and they really pulled it off. They sounded great, they played the songs great, and it was a really good show. And so I was glad we went. Alex really enjoyed it, obviously, and I have no regrets. So I would say Blondie still pulls it off. However, a band who no longer pulls it off, Loverboy. I saw a video of them recently playing live, and it was a total cringe fest. In fact, I think the festival or state fair they were playing at was indeed called Cringe Fest. However, don't feel sorry for them, because to this day, Mike Reno still says, and I quote, "I'm making love to whoever I please."
Nice.
So why don't you turn me loose? Turn me loose. Turn me loose. I gotta do it my way. Or no way at all.
So those are some of my choices for bands who either still have it or should just retire. But here's actually a few more. First, Metallica. You know, James is looking a little old these days, but those guys can still play, and I say keep going. Another band that's held it together pretty well is Stryper. I know Oz Fox has had some health issues, but Michael Sweet's voice is still great, and he still looks really good. And finally, somebody that I thought of the other day and decided to do a painting of was Sebastian Bach. I was never a huge Skid Row fan, and I never really liked Sebastian Bach back in the day. And apparently the guys in Skid Row didn't like him either. But now that he's in his 50s, he just seems like a guy that loves music and loves singing, and he's got a great voice still. Not to mention that the guy's hilarious. I've seen some interviews and some live footage of him, and he just cracks me up. And I got a message on Facebook the other day from Brian Herman, who said, "Dear Monty, have you heard the new Sebastian Bach record? It's a lot better than I was expecting. I'm interested to hear your review." Well, yes, Brian, I have heard it, and like you, I was pleasantly surprised also. But only slightly surprised, because I've actually liked a lot of Sebastian's solo stuff in the past. He's had a lot of songs I thought were really good. They're usually rocking and very melodic. And this album is much along those lines. The name of it is Child Within the Man. Let's check a little bit of it out. One thing I really like about a lot of Sebastian Bach's songs, his solo stuff, is that he has a lot of harmonies and really good choruses. Now, according to the internet, he's got some guest guitarists playing on this album. like John 5 and Steve Stevens, and there's just some great solos. I'm not sure who's playing in his band on this upcoming tour, but I saw some footage on YouTube, and they were playing the Monsters of Rock cruise, and from what I could tell, they sounded really good, and it made me almost want to go. I'm not sure if I will or not, but they were playing some Skid Row stuff mixed in with the solo stuff, which is fun to see him do again. But I will say it's just a little bit strange to hear a 56-year-old guy singing We Are the Youth Gone Wild. But like I said, he's got a great sense of humor. And I heard him say that his biggest problem isn't his voice, it's being able to see the set list on the stage without his readers. And that I can totally relate to. So there you go, there's some new Sebastian Bach. I'm gonna give it 4 out of 5 bloody metal skulls. I've got no problem with it. Some good rockin' tunes that are, as Larry King would say, very hummable. Okay, I know I said that was it, but I thought of one more person or band who should probably call it a day. And that would be Bon Jovi. And I say that because I just got through the entire Bon Jovi documentary on Hulu. It was a 4-part series. I think each episode was like an hour and a half long. And so I would watch one episode one night and maybe another episode the next. And then I'd wait a couple of days and watch a half an episode. And I think it finally took me about 2 weeks to get through the whole thing. And in the beginning, I thought, well, this is pretty good. He seems like a hardworking guy. He's just refused to give up. But then by episode 4, I was just like, oh, for the love of God, would you retire already? I mean, I get it. You love what you do, and you've got millions of fans who love you. But you're having throat surgery, you can't sing anymore, and everything you write sounds like Bruce Springsteen. But no, this guy's ego is massive, and he's down to 2 original members in his band, and Richie Sambora won't even speak to him anymore. So, you know, John, why don't you take your billions of dollars and just go away? That's what I would do. If I would have sold 100 million albums like he did, you'd never see me again, unless you happen to spot me at a stadium going to a ball game. But anyway, moving on to a new topic, I got this message from Darren Smith. And Darren says, hey Monty, so I've been thinking about bands that are well known but have songs that don't get the credit they deserve. turn on the radio or Spotify and they are playing the same songs by the same bands. So, Money, what are your top 10 songs by bands that they have another great song but you never hear it played? Okay, well, this is an interesting question, and so let me delve into my music library on my computer and I'll see what I can come up with. All right, let's start with AC/DC. You constantly hear Shook Me All Night Long, but what about Riff Raff or Beatin' Around the Bush? Yeah, I would much rather hear that than Back in Black for the millionth time. But how about Aerosmith? They've got 1,000 hits, most of which I hate. And instead of hearing Dude Looks Like a Lady, Walk This Way, or one of those horrible ballads, how about they play one of their great ballads? Like Seasons of Wither, Home Tonight, or how about You See Me Crying off Toys in the Attic? Here's another one. If you ever hear Thin Lizzy on the radio, which is rarely, it's always The Boys Are Back in Town. But they have about 90 to 100 other songs that are just as good. But wouldn't it be cool if one day you're riding down the road and all of a sudden on your FM station you hear Massacre? I love ZZ Top, but I have to admit I've heard Legs and Cheap Sunglasses enough. And what I'd rather hear is a weird song called Manic Mechanic.
That's right.
I saw them do this live back in, I think it was 1980. It was the DeGuelo Tour, and that is still one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Come on, you bet, and I haven't even settled my pony yet. Have mercy, Miss Percy, I done put the coon tune on this bed.
So those are some of the songs that I would rather hear than the same songs that you always hear on radio. And it's a shame that radio's the way it is these days. And why is that? Why do they have to play the same crap over and over? Well, I think most of you listening to this show right now know the answer. It's because most people who listen to the radio are dumb and lazy, and they just want to hear something that's familiar to them. That's why when Sweet Child of Mine comes on, they don't do like I do and just change the channel. They let it play and they say, I know this song. I've heard this before. I like this. But chances are, if you're listening right now, you're one of those people who actually cares about music. It means something to you. You want to dig deep into albums, and you want to find new stuff to listen to. And so thanks to one of those people, which was Darren Smith, for that question. But Darren has a second question, which is, I've been listening to Spotify and Galactic Cowboys Radio. What do you think of the other bands mixed in there with GC? Okay, well, Alex and I have Apple Music. That's what we use because you can just download all the albums you want, and that's what I'm into. And I don't have Spotify. I probably should get it. But Darren was kind enough to send me some screenshots of what he's talking about. And I see that we have a channel called Galactic Cowboys Radio. And it has a couple of our songs, but it also has a bunch of songs by other bands, which I'm assuming are suggestions, like if you like Galactic Cowboys, you might like this too. And I'm seeing a lot of Tourniquet, Die Happy, Precious Death, KXM, Lillian Axe, and a bunch of bands that I've never heard of, like Mull Muzzler, somebody called Stone Rising, and Maverick Knight. But there's also a Rush song on here, and something by Jerry Cantrell, and Faith No More. So yeah, cool. You know, we probably don't sound like any of those bands we're being compared to, but that's all right. Hopefully somebody will see our name on there on somebody else's list and find out about us. And good questions, Darren. And I always appreciate your questions because they give me stuff to talk about. And I got another question here from Sean Jeffrey on Facebook when I posted a picture of a portrait painting I did of Galactic Cowboys. It was back from the Space in Your Face era, and Justin Dunlop was nice enough to buy that from me. But I've since made prints of it, and you can find those on my website, montycalvinart.com. Just look under Galactic Cowboys Artwork. But like I said, Sean Jeffrey said this, serious question, is it weird painting yourself? And that is an excellent question, Sean, and the answer is no, not really. It's not weird, but it is kind of difficult. But no more difficult than it is to paint anything. Regardless of the subject matter, I'm always thinking about the same things, which are lines, shapes, proportions, shading, details, all that stuff. But I've been doing self-portraits since probably high school or college, and it's really just the same process that you do with any painting. And by the way, I've got some new rock paintings up on the site. I just did one of Steve Perry from Journey. I did a really cool one of Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters. For you Alice in Chains fans, I did a Jerry Cantrell. And I also did one of Buck Dharma and one of Eric Bloom from Blue Oyster Cult, just because I'm a big fan of BOC. And if you are too, or know of somebody who is, go to my website, montycalvinart.com. Because seriously, it's the coolest website ever. And I will keep saying that till somebody believes it. Because here's the deal. I'm an artist, I've been painting for about 50 years now. But most of the time, it is a real struggle. Because there are many days when I just feel like, is this stuff ever going to catch on? I've developed my own style, I feel like it's different, and I keep searching for that audience or that big break, and I start to get discouraged because it just seems like a lot of people just don't get it. But a lot of times when I'm feeling this way, I'll see something or hear something that really encourages me to go on and to keep doing what I'm doing. And that's what happened the other day. I'm watching YouTube and I run onto this video that says Rob Reiner talks about Spinal Tap. And I love Spinal Tap, one of the greatest movies of all time. And so I watch it just expecting to hear a little behind the scenes information. And Rob Reiner was talking about how they came up with the idea of making a spoof about a rock band. And he said that even as they were making the movie, there would be people on the set filming it that just didn't get it. They were like, what's funny about this? And when they finished it, they would play it for test audiences. And there were people that saw it that thought it was an actual documentary about a real band. And they'd say, this band is terrible. Why would you make a movie about them? I don't get it. But they put it out thinking it wouldn't do much, but it's actually become a classic. And the question came up in the interview as to what made you keep going. And he was like, because we knew it was funny. And at this point in the interview, Rob Reiner told this story about Albert Brooks that I thought was great. And he said when Albert was first starting out, he had this thing in his stand-up routine about a talking mime. And he would do it in front of audiences and no one would laugh. Well, he gets invited to go on The Tonight Show. And Rob asked him, Albert, well, what are you going to do? And Albert says, I'm going to do my mime bit. And he said, why would you do that? No one laughs. And Albert says, because it's funny. And so he goes on the show, he's doing the bit, and no one's laughing. But all of a sudden, Johnny Carson starts laughing. And when the crowd hears Johnny laughing, they go, oh, okay, I get it. This comedian is making fun of mimes. And at that point, the whole crowd starts laughing hysterically. And the moral of the story is just keep doing what you do. Do it because you believe in it. And so that's what I have to keep telling myself every single day.
Yeah, well, good luck.
All right, let's do another question here from Rockcast listener James Nelson, who says, hey, Monty, how are you doing, man? Oh, well, thanks for asking, James. You know, I'm hanging in there. If you listened to the last episode I did, you remember Alex and I took in a little French bulldog that needed a good home? And at first, I thought it was a really bad idea because we already have two dogs. And I told Alex, you know, you need to find somewhere for this dog to go as soon as possible. But we ended up having to keep her for like 2 or 3 weeks. And while Alex was at work, I had to start taking her out for walks. And then she started jumping up onto the bed and cuddling up beside me. And I would pat her little head and, God, after a while, I'm just like, this dog is so cute. And after about a week, I was just like, I love this dog. I wish we could keep her. But common sense prevailed, and Alex found her a new home. And we gave her to some really nice people, and she's really happy there now. But when we got back home from dropping her off, I just bawled. And so apparently I'm more of a dog person than I thought I was.
I mean, you're kind of a girly man.
What else have I been doing? You know, I've been watching a lot of sports, and I was totally into the NBA and NHL playoffs. But then my Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche both got knocked out of the playoffs in the same weekend. And so in a couple of weeks, there won't be much left to watch except baseball. Which is usually bad news because for many years now, the Colorado Rockies and the Kansas City Royals are the teams I root for, and they've just both stunk. And the Rockies still do stink, but the good news is that the Royals have suddenly become contenders. They have a budding superstar in Bobby Witt Jr., and so far they're playing really well, and they've made watching baseball fun again for me. And since I no longer live in Kansas City, what I had to do in order to see their games is I added the MLB app. And I put it on my TV, and I'm now able to watch every single one of their games. And so if your team is out of your area, you might want to think about getting that. You have to pay for the subscription, but you know, you can put it on your phone or your TV and watch all the games you want.
Baseball sucks!
I also watched a couple other things that were kind of sports related. The first one was the Tom Brady roast. Did anybody see that on Netflix? Maybe it's just me, but I find those to be kind of uncomfortable sometimes. Some of the comedian's jokes I find to be a little cringeworthy, you know, kind of like going to a Loverboy concert.
Hey, that is uncalled for.
But there were some moments that I thought were pretty funny, and I was glad to see humor coming back. So maybe people are starting to lighten up a little bit, which I think is good. But there's always a few people in the audience that just don't seem to think anything is funny. And it's usually celebrities who think they're too important to even crack a smile. Kind of like Tom Hanks at the Oscars when Ricky Gervais was just slaughtering all of Hollywood. And I actually thought that was great because for the most part, I just hate Hollywood. But every now and then, Hollywood does do something right. And I just watched a movie about wrestling. And I know that's kind of a fake sport, but this was a film that was based on a true story about the Von Erich family. And if you don't know who they were, I think they were around back in the 70s or 80s. I'm not a wrestling fan, so I don't know. But this father pushed his three or four sons to be professional wrestlers. And I thought the movie was good. I enjoyed it. But one of the stars of the movie is Zac Efron. And I remember my daughter watching him in High School Musical years ago. And he did a good job in this, but all I can say is he looks really weird. Like, I don't know if he did a bunch of steroids to get ready for this role, but his head's all big now and he looks more like Lou Ferrigno from The Incredible Hulk.
I want to see it!
And the last sports-related thing that I wanted to talk about was the whole Harrison Butker controversy. I'm sure you've heard about this by now, but if you haven't, Harrison Butker is the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I've always loved the guy because the Chiefs are my favorite team, and he has helped win us several Super Bowls. But he was asked to be a commencement speaker at a Catholic college in Missouri. And during that speech, he said some things that a lot of people took as just outrageous. And I thought about not commenting about this on the Rockcast for about 1 second. And then I thought, no, I'm going to talk about it. And the thing is I don't go on Facebook or X or TikTok and say anything political. I leave that to other people. But the Rockcast is where I speak my mind and say what I want. And when I heard the media and all kinds of leftists saying that Harrison Butker is hateful and his speech was anti-women, bigoted, racist, and homophobic, I thought, I better go check this out. And so I went and listened to what he had to say, and I thought, what's the problem? I agree with everything he said, and I'm not even Catholic. He was talking about God, his wife, mothers, fathers, and just good Christian traditional values. And then I thought, oh yeah, that's everything that the left wants us to stop believing in. And all I can really say about the whole thing is that, God, what a sick world we live in now. When a guy like Harrison Butker can be made out to be a villain, while George Floyd is considered a hero, things have just gotten insane. And I cannot imagine what things will look like in about 20 years, but hopefully I won't be around for that shit.
Very pointed and provocative commentary.
Moving on now to something a little lighter. Over the years, I have suggested all kinds of music to you guys. And I will have people message me and say, hey, Monty, thanks for turning me on to the Wild Hearts, or Star Set, or most recently, Royal Republic. I've also had a lot of people message me and say, I like your show, but I don't like a lot of the music you play. I don't like Screamo. And that's fine, because I don't like a lot of stuff that you guys suggest to me. For instance, Coon in Canada suggested that I just put all my music out on the internet and give it away for free. I wouldn't make any money, but hey, at least somebody would hear it. But Coon also suggested a band he thought I might like. And at first I thought the name of the band was Gringos Galacticos. But as it turned out, that was the name of the album. The name of the band is Digith. And they're wearing space suits on the cover of the album and also in the video. And so I checked the music out, and honestly, it's not too bad. It's just really not my thing. It's kind of what I would consider stoner rock.
Right.
And I know a lot of you guys out there like that kind of thing, so I thought I'd pass it along. So ladies and gentlemen, or gentlemen and the two or three ladies who are listening, I give you now Digith.
All right.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like Monster Magnet, or, you know, people who like Clutch might dig this. But it's definitely interesting. They've got a little harmonica in there. They stuck in some NASA sound bites. And they even have a song called Spaceship Earth. So they definitely got a little galactic thing going on there. And hopefully they'll do better with it than we did.
Your gun, ready to draw.
right, once again, that's some diggeth. And thanks to Coon in Canada for the suggestion. And may I suggest to you that you tell your friends about the Rockcast? And while you're at it, tell them to go to MontyColvinArt.com. No matter what the occasion, paintings, prints, and refrigerator magnets make great gifts. But that's going to do it for me for now. I'll be back soon with more fun and mayhem. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like. Unless it's me. And
rock on!
Admit it, that's great. And that's it.